No one ever said that reconciliation is easy. It can be very hard. But this is certain. Reconciliation is necessary. It can take years to form the deep divisions that keep families and former friends apart. And it may take time to heal those wounds. Today, we'll learn from the teachings of Jesus the steps to take to seek real reconciliation and find it. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer brings us the seventh message in his series on When You've Been Wronged. Turn with us to the 18th chapter of Matthew as Dr. Lutzer comes now to speak on the high cost of reconciliation.
Well, let me invite you into my mail bag. Do they still have mail bags? I guess mailmen do. Here's a letter. I'm so confused about the mess my life is in. My husband has been involved in an adulterous relationship for 2 years, and presently his partner is 4 months pregnant. She divorced her husband about a year ago, and now my husband has finally filed for divorce, though the process is not yet finished. He claims that I'm mentally ill, that I've denied him children. He claims that I lied to him. He said that his relationship with his girlfriend is my fault because I was the cause of his unhappiness. He said that I've destroyed his reputation by starting a rumor that he was having an affair. His friends who are in the same church as I believe I am evil. They are thanking God for the blessing of the child that the Lord is giving to my husband and his lover. I don't even know how to pray anymore. Am I right in saying that these people who are willing to support my husband are listening to Satan's lies? Would God bless my adulterous husband with a baby? I don't understand this mess. You ever notice that there are people with messes? Recently, my mother-in-law left my husband a shocking voicemail suggesting that he divorce me. Never in a million years would I have thought of this since we're happily married. We counsel other couples. My husband was surprised and grieved. Never have I met a person who is so controlling as this woman who desires to possess our children and control my husband, since she now fears that she can no longer control me. She's treacherous. She does one thing and says another. How can I have a relationship with a person like this? Can you be reconciled to someone who wants to use reconciliation as a means of control? Anyone whose fault, if you confess your faults, are going to misinterpret that and use that against you. Well, the topic, as you might have guessed today, is reconciliation. And we could also say that the topic is one of hard obedience. Are you ready for today's message? Praise God. Praise God. Several amens. I'll go with them. Some reasons why we should reconcile. Disunity weakens the body of Jesus Christ, possibly like no other sin. You've seen it in church splits. Jesus said, "A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and nor can a family stand that's divided against itself." Father against mother, child against parent. I'll tell you that division is very costly. It rips, it tears, it hurts, and it weakens. Secondly, because of our witness to the world. When we can't get along as Christians, it makes Jesus look bad. People say, well, you know, they're Christians, and just look at them. They're as bad as we are. Always remember, the world is looking for excuses to not believe. And when they see us with our divisions and our pettiness and our anger, they say, there's another good reason why I don't need their Jesus. Third, future generations. I've noticed something in churches where there's been a church split. There are some churches that split all the time. And if you look into their history, you'll discover that they always split along the same fault lines. Same families on this side, families on this side. Sometimes going back to generations, families are the same way. What a terrible thing to be in the family when there is no reconciliation. Another reason is that reconciliation is proof that the gospel works. We will never have a great revival in America unless we have couples that were on the verge of divorce, where there has been unfaithfulness and everything you can imagine, and until they are willing to stand up and to say, "We were on the brink of divorce, and for us it was over, but Jesus broke into our marriage, and here we stand today loving each other reconciled." That is the power of the gospel. Every revival that I've ever studied always has paramount reconciliation. 30, 40 years ago in Canada, children were running down the aisles, teenagers were running down the aisles during the service to find their parents to be reconciled and to ask their forgiveness. When the Spirit works, there's a desire for reconciliation. Well, what we're going to do today is to walk through 7 steps of reconciliation. I like the number 7 because I think God loves the number 7. So I want to love all the same thing God does. So today it's 7 steps in this business of reconciliation. We hope that you won't have to take them all. But when reconciliation doesn't work, you're going to have to go through all number 7. Are you with me? The text is the 18th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus teaches on reconciliation. And my intention today is to only expound and to clarify what Jesus has to say. And I'm depending on what Jesus has to say to bring the power that I desire for this message. It's what Jesus has to say. And the Apostle Paul also. Inspired word of God. First of all, if your brother sins against you. Now, Jesus is assuming that if you have sinned against your brother, of course you'll go to him or to her. But even if your brother sins against you, you go. First, obviously, you prepare your heart. Jesus might not say it expressly, but the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the same Spirit, did. He says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." To restore is a word that was used for the setting of a broken bone. You're going to go in tenderness. You go and we prepare our hearts. Let me give you reasons why we prepare our hearts. First of all, to understand our role in the matter. Because sometimes a person may sin against you, but you may have fault too, you know. So what you do is you lay your life before the Lord and say, "What is my part in this offense?" And even if your part is 20% and theirs is 80%, usually our fault looks about like that. Oh, I'm about 20% at fault and they're 80%. You go with your 20% as if it is the full 100%. Because what you are doing is you are aiming at forgiveness and reconciliation and restitution. That's what you are aiming at. So you need time to explore your own life. You go then to see your own role in the matter and your own attitude in this. Your own attitude, as the Apostle Paul says, with a great spirit of humility and brokenness. I don't believe that you are qualified to be reconciled to someone unless you come to the point in your life where you realize that you are capable of doing what your offender has done. You're capable of that too, you know. Solzhenitsyn said that the line between good and evil does not run between the races or between the cultures. Wouldn't it be great if it did? We could just take all the evil people and put them all over there, and then take all of the good people and put them over here. Solzhenitsyn says the line between good and evil runs through every human heart. Someday, if God ever shows you your sin, you will be shocked at what you're capable of doing. So first of all, you prepare your heart. Secondly, you go. you go. Jesus says, go. You take the initiative. You say, well, I'm waiting for him to call. He might not call. You take the initiative. You go. That's the hard part. You go. You go in private. Now, you don't say to yourself, well, I'm not going to go, but I'm going to tell other people about how bad he is. That's gossip. Don't go. Don't go to the telephone. Don't gossip. Don't slander. Don't say things about people that are negative, even if they are true. I could pause here and preach a whole sermon on the power of the tongue. Oh, what a small member it is, and how it kindles such a great flame. 25 years ago, a young man came to me who was a student, and he told me about a religious leader and told me a story about what would portend to be dishonesty on the part of this leader. Whether the story is totally true or not, maybe it was true. I do need to say that I know this person about whom the story was told, and for years, every time we met, that story came to mind. Oh, the damage of what the tongue can do. Yes, no wonder the scripture says that the tongue is set on fire of hell. And what a great fire a little flame can kindle. This is Pastor Lutzer. And as we think today about our relationships, how quick we are, aren't we, to be able to use our tongues, which seemingly cost us nothing, to tell a friend, to spread the word, to slander someone, or even to tell the truth about someone, but we tell it to somebody who is not part of the problem nor part of the solution. Blessed are those who are able to hold their tongues and to control what they say. In fact, going back to the book of James, James says that if we can do that, we can control all of our members. Because if you can control your tongue, you are indeed a person who has a great deal of self-control over your whole body. Today, let me ask you very candidly, how are you misusing your tongue? What are you saying about those who have hurt you, those who have perhaps done things that are wrong? Are you able to hold that in your heart, sharing everything that is in your heart with the Lord? Or do you feel a need to make sure that everyone knows how bad somebody else is? Your tongue is a little member, and the damage that has been done by the tongue to churches is worthy of tears, whole church splits, all kinds of character defamation has taken place. Oh, may we repent today of the misuse of the tongue.
Erwin Lutzer with part one of The High Cost of Reconciliation, the seventh of eight messages on what to do when you've been wronged. Monday, tune in for more steps we may need to take to make things right with others. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about when you've been wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.